much about.
We got to get better, man. We came out the last couple days and did good. This was bull. Let's turn it around. We got to have a great day today, man. Let's go. Get better. 1, 2, 3. Get better.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Joke.
Incidentally, have you noticed what's happened to daytime television?
No.
It's all about the women. There's Kelly, there's Rachel, there's The View, there's The Talk, there's Ellen, there's
Anderson Cooper.
And now,
it's the bow to the wow, creeping and crawling, yiggy yes yawling, Snoop Doggy Dog in the mother loving house like every day, dropping hits with my brother, Mr. Dr. Dre.
Well, the new girl's annoying. Our feature presentation.
I gotta tell you, we're lucky that Lisa has not left just to pursue rap.
Rap
I
is
agree.
So easy.
She's
that's the thing. Like, I did it once and I went,
she flows over beats like
so
anyone
easy.
I've never seen. She could go out on her own and just do a world tour.
Totally could.
So thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
It's like all those years that Steve Carell stayed on The Office. You thought, wow,
right.
Why isn't this guy off doing movies? Look how funny he is.
Mm-hmm.
So we just gotta appreciate you while we have you, I guess.
Yeah, I'll throw you some raps every once in a while.
All right, party people, welcome into another Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday. We've been distracted the last couple of days, but we finally get to talk about the man arrested for having sex with the couch, because I love this guy so much.
Psycho Mike?
not this time. This man is in Waukesha, Wisconsin. He is facing charges after an off-duty cop jogging through the Pebble Valley neighborhood saw the man having sex with an abandoned couch set on a curb. Now, it was abandoned. That's
right.
My argument is, look, somebody didn't want this couch enough to leave it out on the curb to be stolen or taken away, or the trash guy to pick it up, or whatever it is the plan was. Who's he hurting if he's having sex with this couch? It's not like it was somebody's couch.
I don't think the cop arrested him because he was worried about the couch. I think you can't have sex in public with anything.
Yes.
But I think it's other people watching. It's not a couch issue.
Yeah, he drove by and he could see him, so other people could.
But what could you really see?
What about
how
the
do
children,
we know?
Bean?
How do I ask this question? Where was he? How do I ask this question?
What part of the couch did he love the most?
Correct.
Well, it was between the cushions, but it doesn't say exactly if it was, how that worked. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like he was standing. So
standing
or well, let's read further.
Right.
Gerald Streeter is his name, charged in Waukesha County Court last Thursday with one count of lewd and lascivious behavior. Does it seem to you like if he is convicted of this, he should face up to 9 months in prison and $10,000 in fines?
No,
no,
that's insane.
All I'm saying is the guy was having sex with the couch. Come on.
Did the cop check with the couch to see if maybe the couch was happy?
An off-duty Waukesha police officer was out for a jog near North University Drive near Pebble Valley Road when he spotted an abandoned yellow couch on the curb. He observed Streeter by the couch, thrusting his hips as if he was having sex with a person. The officer approached the man to see what was going on and yelled, "What are you doing?" which caused Streeter to run away. The officer didn't see anyone else on the couch, but the officer realized, this is, you can tell from the police report, that Streeter was thrusting it between the couch cushions for sexual gratification. Okay, he's an off-duty police officer. He's already yelled at the guy, and the guy has run away. If you're off-duty, at this point, do you then follow the guy, chase the guy to his apartment complex?
No.
I don't think so.
The officer contacted the police department after he saw the apartment complex the man went into. The next day, the man went back to the apartment, talked to Streeter's wife.
Yes! Yes!
Well, that answer is why.
All right, honey. You're not going to give me any? I'm going to go to the next door's couch.
She said that police had been there the night before, but that her husband had done nothing wrong. So then they went to the County Springs Hotel where Streeter worked, asked him about the incident. He denied being out, saying that he had been at home with his wife and had gone to bed around 10:30. So apparently he's not fessing up to it yet. He will make his initial appearance in court October 1st. Because I'm sure he didn't tell his wife about it. So
no.
At this point, in his mind, he's thinking, all right, I'm just going to deny it to the police and hope that there's no way that they can definitively identify me. They don't have a video or a photo or something like that. I'll just say it wasn't me. And maybe I'll get away with this.
But you have a firsthand eyewitness in a
eyewitness.
Cop.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that
yes.
doesn't really help.
That doesn't help. No, it doesn't help. But
you
know, they always say in trials that eyewitnesses are the worst piece of evidence you can have.
but he's a cop. I would say it's the best eyewitness you could have. But are they going to have a press conference where they stand next to each other and he says, I'm sorry, I embarrassed my family. And then she says, how long has this been going on? With this couch or other couches?
If the police showed up and you found out that your longtime boyfriend had been out having sex with a couch on the street, would that be a deal breaker for you? In other words, would you break up with him for something like
well,
that?
Well, it would be therapy for sure, at the very least. That's just so bizarre, because what else has he been doing?
That's what you would think.
The only time.
Yeah, that's a bad decision-making process.
He's maybe romancing couches all over the place.
That's what I
don't
saying.
Even know.
Is this the only one?
Right.
Well, it doesn't say whether the couch was hot or not.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
So, good times.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
As a wife, that's awesome.
That was the most surprising part of the whole story to me.
I know, because you just think loner.
I figured homeless.
Could be.
That's why he was doing his own couch.
Sweet. If he had his own couch, he wouldn't have had to be cheating.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, that sounds so boring.
Oh, you don't know. You don't know. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage.
Yeah, that's what you told me yesterday. Lying, liar who lies.
Providing we can get him on the phone.
Yeah.
All right.
We also have The Toy Hunter. Now, I'm not familiar with The Toy Hunter. This is a guy who has a TV show. And I guess he goes around and, finds toys and tries to buy them at a low price and then turn them around and sell them at a high price. And Ralph, who is a collector, has cartoon hate for this guy.
He does.
Well, the Toy Hunter is the Joker to Ralph's Batman.
Right.
Mortal enemies. Like, they're going to fight to the death today. I think only one of them will survive after that phone call this morning.
So we didn't care about the Toy Hunter until we realized that it was going to be a knockdown, drag-out match with Ralph. And now we're in. So we got that coming up this morning. We got to tell you about Al Gore's new TV show, Sounds Sexy. We have John Cryer on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Emmy Award winner, John Cryer. As he insists on being known now.
I don't blame him. We have Neil Patrick Harris on the program.
Wow.
Today.
That's pretty great.
We have your tickets for our breakfast with the Black Keys.
Nice.
How about that? That's coming up today as well. And some highlights of our interview with the Killers in about a half hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 6.
As we mentioned, more tickets for our Breakfast with the Black Keys, which is going to be a week from Friday, by the way, in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We also have tickets for you to win on today's program to see, No Doubt at the Gibson Amphitheater. A band that's way too big to be playing a venue like that, I'd like to point out again.
I know, but I love when they play a venue like that, because if you go, it's a great experience. Small.
Absolutely.
Intimate, yeah.
In the first five rows, too, you'll be winning tickets again today. I think we're up to row number 3 today. I'm starting to see a trend in these giveaways that they're doing. Anyway, that's all coming up. It's 5:51. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Speaking of tickets, how about some passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Frankenweenie?
Yay!
Sounds like the story of Bean's life.
I am Frankenweenie.
It is about a young boy who brings his beloved dog, Sparky, back to life using dubious scientific means.
Love it.
A la Dr. Frankenstein. It is a stop-motion animation film starring some amazing voice talent like Martin Landau, Christopher Lee, Winona Ryder, Catherine O'Hara, many, many more. If you'd like to go, and who wouldn't like to see this, I want this to be for real Tim Burton fans, because I know we have some hardcore Burton fans out there. Here's your trivia question. If you know the answer, call right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers to get through. We'll get a pair of passes to our advanced screening, which happens on October the 4th, and then Frankenweenie's in theaters everywhere on October the 5th. Tim Burton, I know he seems like a quirky, odd, weird goth guy. You think, where's this dude from? Is he from England? Is he from the Northeast somewhere? No, he's a Southern California boy. A sunny Southern California boy. Yes. He doesn't strike you as a sunny Southern California boy, does he?
He doesn't look like he's seen the sun in a thousand years.
Doesn't seem like
years.
He's out there surfing or hiking Runyon or any of that stuff. I don't believe he was. I need to know, where did Tim go to high school here locally in Southern California? Give me his high school. 1-800-520-1067. If you know the answer, call now and you'll get a pair of passes to see Frankenweenie. I cannot wait to see, by the
looks
way.
Looks good.
Looks awesome. This week, by the way, I saw a Looper. We'll talk about it later in the week, but I saw a Looper
this
week.
Does that come out Friday?
It comes out Friday,
yes.
So we'll talk about it then, but boy, oh boy.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Boy, is that an effing brilliant film.
Honey Boo Boo in the news. Little Alana Thompson. She, of course, is just a baby herself, but she's already an aunt to little Caitlin after her sister Chickadee had a baby. What's Chickadee? 12?
How old
17.
Are they?
17.
She's 17. Yeah.
Of course, when Caitlin was born, the big talk in the family was the fact that, sure, she had an extra thumb. Sure, you know.
Right.
But that's how it is.
When you
they're in the genetic swamp that is George's trailer parks.
And let's not forget that her 33-year-old grandmother has the forklift foot, too. So that family's got a lot going for it.
But she got a foot run over by a forklift. That has a legitimate explanation. The extra thumb is just God's way of saying, okay, you know what? You have a bad batch of genes that you're pulling from here.
I think it's too many cheese balls. That's what I say.
Well, June, as Bean mentioned, the 33-year-old grandmother of Caitlin, has announced that she says to the doctors they don't want to do anything about the thumb right now. They're just going to leave the extra thumb.
Yes.
They're going to let the baby have the extra thumb. They don't want to make any rash decisions.
Good.
Hey, you know what? It's not a rash decision to keep your granddaughter from being a freak. Unless you wanted to work in the sideshow, have them take the extra thumb off now. Let's do that now.
And you also do it before they'll remember.
Yes.
You don't wait till they're a
teenager
and go. You don't
want to put the kid through the trauma at 14 on her wedding day, when she's 14 going to get married, that she's got to go to the surgery, to get elective surgery to get her extra thumb removed.
Yeah, good point. Plus, it would be embarrassing for her kids at that point
That's
if she got
right.
it at 14.
Yes. So,
wow.
That family continues to impress.
I can't get over the mom. I can't get over June, who, as you mentioned, is a 33-year-old grandmother who had her first baby at 15, and all four of the kids are by different fathers.
Well, look at her. I mean, what man could resist? No wonder she has so much sex with so many different men, because she is just irresistible.
She's never had a second date either, so that probably
explains. So she's putting out on the first? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Look how long Sugar Bear has been with her, though. They've been together for like 7 years.
Yeah.
He puts up with that.
Yeah, he's going to lose a leg because of her.
Just crazy.
She took a bite out of him while they were sleeping. She is sideshow fat.
She is.
Yeah. Her face disappears in this just mound of flesh that sits atop her shoulders.
But at least she makes up for it with a horrible, horrible personality.
Kidney, she's a party in a box. She drinks wine in a box.
Well, sure. Yeah.
This is also impressive. I don't know if you saw Victoria's Secret sexy little geisha outfit that they're offering.
I did not, but I would
retail
like
outlets everywhere this year. It was promoted by being modeled by Candace Swainpool. I don't know if you're familiar with Candace or not, but she's an attractive young lady. It's basically a mesh bodysuit with oval cutouts, with an Eastern-inspired floral print, a mini fan, and a removable Japanese-style belt.
Don't tell me someone's complaining about this.
Hair, chopsticks, and tassels.
All right.
So it's an Asian-themed, sexy little lingerie getup.
Who's upset?
Who's bitching?
Oh, I forgot to mention, Victoria's Secret just had to pull it off the market. You can no longer buy the sexy little geisha outfit. Why do you think?
Because someone's the enemy of fun?
Certain Asian rights groups have complained, saying that it is tasteless and perpetuates the sexualization of Asians. So the outfit is no longer available on Victoria's Secret's website.
Oh, here
not
we
big
go.
Breasts on her, but still, solid rack for an Asian.
Yeah, so too sexy. Too sexy for Asia.
Come on.
Listen, it's Victoria's Secret. Do you want them to put out a business suit, an Asian business suit for women to wear?
That's what they do. It doesn't matter the race. That's what they do.
The whole
they
gender
go for sexy.
Is sexualized by that store. That's what they do. And women go there to buy stuff to feel sexy.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war! Race war's on, everybody! It's going down! It's going down! Race war. Come on. Race war.
Couldn't the people who don't like the outfit just not buy it? Is that an option?
That is not an option. No,
they it's not. So, in other words, if they don't like it, nobody should be able to buy it.
And it's even been pulled from the website's photo gallery, so you can't even see what she looks like in it anymore. But luckily, some people have pulled the image. It's all over the internet, so you can check it out for yourself. Candace Swainpool, sexy little geisha is the name for it. Look it up on the internet and see a picture of it. And then do what comes naturally. And a couple TV announcements. Sean Lowe will be the next Bachelor on ABC. It's been announced who the next Bachelor will be. Sean. Sean, of course, made a big impression during Emily's season of The Bachelorette.
Sure.
This January, by the way. The Bachelor returns.
Yeah.
Come on, Sean. Do the right thing here. And speaking of do the right thing, NBC is smart. They have signed Tina Fey up for a 4-year deal to work for the network developing new shows.
Oh,
fantastic.
Great.
Which good is a good idea. Since we're losing 30 Rock, at least we'll know Tina will be hard at work making new comedies for us that we'll be able to enjoy.
She's a great writer, too. Remember, she did Mean Girls.
Yeah, and, yeah. So. She's been working for NBC since 1997. That's when she started writing on Saturday Night Live, and, of course, all the way through 30 Rock. So, it's good news for us. Do we have a winner to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Victoria. I think Victoria was the first one through. Victoria?
Yes, hi.
Hi there. Where did Tim Burton go to high school here locally in Southern California?
Burbank High.
Burbank High.
Yay! How
about that?
Go Bow Weevils. Yeah. So congratulations. You have answered the trivia question correctly. Hold on. We're going to give you the details, but you're going to see Frank and Weenie before anybody else.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations also to Bruce, Dan, Richard, and Tim, who also knew that he went to Burbank High.
Huh.
Can you imagine him in high school? He must
no.
have been so mercilessly picked on.
What an outcast.
The hair hanging in his face, just shuffling along in his black clothes.
Hey, look at the weirdo. Look at the weirdo. Now look at him.
Modern Famous Monsters magazine tucked under his arm and people just picking on him.
Yep.
Now he can buy and sell them all.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Olivia Newton-John is 64 years old today. Linda Hamilton from the Terminator movies.
Wow.
Chuck, of course, is 56. Jim Caviezel from The Passion of the Christ, famously, and now on Persons of Interest. 44 years old. Christina Milian is 31 years old. I guess she does play-by-play over there on The Voice. I didn't realize until I was watching the other night that she's sort of their correspondent. She interviews the contestants as they come out of their auditions and things like that.
Okay.
And tennis pro Serena Williams celebrates her 31st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Emmy Award-winning actor John Cryer talks about the return of Two and a Half Men. Next hour here on the Kevin Meade Show, Neil Patrick Harris on the program today, and more tickets for our Breakfast with the the Black Keys coming up. How do you guys think it went with the Killers yesterday?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Really?
Great. Well, I mean, once we got our end settled, because we had a lot of problems at the beginning of it. I mean,
us, for starters.
Brandon didn't have headphones,
mm-hmm.
if that's important. And I didn't turn on his mic.
Right.
So there was that.
I felt like there was a little bit of a warming up process to the interview. I felt like we're going to play some highlights for you now. If you stick with it, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with what a party it turned into.
That's right.
At the beginning, it seemed like, got to get our feet wet a little. I think they had to get a couple of drinks in them before they opened up.
Let's hear that now. Never mind. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Meade Show at 6:37.
Kevin's as good off the air as he is on the air. I'm going to tell you guys that. Listen, you hate the politics, right, Kevin? And this is what I don't understand. Here's Paul Ryan, who's running for vice president under Mitt Romney on the Republican ticket. Here he is yesterday addressing supporters. I think you'll enjoy this very much. And go.
I got to start off on... something that was really troubling that occurred last night. Did you guys watch that Packer game last night? I mean, give me a break.
All right, so far he's just a guy. Now listen.
It is time to get the real refs. And you know what? It reminds me of President Obama and the economy.
There you go. Oh.
If you can't get it right, it's time to get out.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
there it is.
See,
bring it
come
home.
On.
It's tough being out there all day long giving speeches and trying to connect with the American people. You're running against an incumbent. I mean, it's an uphill climb, anyone trying to beat a president in office right now. And Mitt Romney has had a couple of rough weeks. And his wife, understandably, is really tired of all the people who are making fun of Mitt. And she's out there, you know, doing her own campaigning and her own interviews. And she says, stop it. This is hard. You want to try it? Get in the ring. Basically saying to people, you know, ease up on Mitt. He's doing a great job. He's out there because he believes in this country, believes in America. Stop picking on him all the time. And I don't know how Mitt feels about his wife out there fighting his battles for him, but we thought we'd get him on the horn and find out what's going on with Mr. Romney, former governor of the great state of Massachusetts. Hi, Mitt.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing well. How do you feel when your wife is out there standing up for you like that?
She's right. It's hard.
Right.
Running for president is hard.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like a punishing schedule.
Leave me alone. What we're saying.
Well, but you made the choice to run for president.
I didn't really.
What?
The American people called on me to do this.
Oh, they demanded it?
They demanded that I get in there and get those bums out of the White House and clean up Clean Up America.
Okay.
That's why I'm here. I'm not doing it for my own reasons. I've been called by the American people. They insist that I do
see.
It.
I see.
I mean, people make fun of me. If people don't like the way I'm running my campaign, you know, I've heard Ron Paul say some things against me. Let him run for president if he thinks it's so easy. Let him do it.
He never stops running for president. he's probably still running for president, man. I don't know.
Then other people stop it.
Look, the truth is that we're a deeply divided nation, and about half of the people who vote are going to vote for you, and about half are going to vote for Mr. Obama, and you're never going to get everybody to like you. It's the same thing with President Obama. When he goes out on the road, he gets booed, he's criticized. It's just it kind of comes with the territory if you're in national politics.
But this is hard, is what I'm saying.
Right.
And people say things that are against me. I don't like that.
Well, but that's part of the process.
It's horrible. It's horrible running for president. If I knew now what I knew then, I never would have run.
How could you not know that that's what it's like to run for president?
Well, I had no idea, really. I figured, I would write somebody a check or something, and the next thing you are, you're president. I really didn't understand how the whole electoral process worked.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of giving the same speech over and over again in places like Ohio.
Yeah. The worst part is really meeting the people.
What?
You have to shake so many hands, and a lot of people are just filthy.
But these are
I've
the
gone
citizens.
Through about a, I can't tell you how many Perel bottles I've gone through.
Right.
I say, when I'm out there talking to people and shaking hands and trying to get votes, I'd say there's about 47% of the people I don't want anything to do with.
You should not actually be using that number at all, Mr.
That's
Romney.
That's a rough estimate, but it's about 47% of the people that I would just not like to have any contact with whatsoever.
How did you come up with the number 47%?
It's a rough estimate.
Just rough.
As far as I can tell, just roughly. I'm saying about 47 out of every 100 people.
Right.
I would not want any contact with them. And here's the thing, too. You got to meet a lot of people of color. And that's no fun, really.
What do you mean that's no fun? They're American citizens who have every right to representation as everybody.
Are they really?
Does.
Are they really, though?
Yes. Of course they are.
Have
that's
you seen
ridiculous.
The birth certificates? I haven't. I'm still waiting on certain birth certificates to this day.
That's a ridiculous thing to say.
I'm just saying a lot of them are people of color.
You might be making this harder than it actually needs to be.
That's right.
Did you have any idea there were that many minorities in America?
Yes.
I for one was shocked.
Okay.
I was stunned. I meet people every day. They're brown. There's brown people.
Well, not everybody is born a rich white guy.
Some people speak different languages.
And that's fine. It does nothing but improve the country to have more languages spoken.
I just, you know, if I could do it all over again, I'd be Mexican.
Wow. All right. Let me ask you about one more thing, Mr. Romney. Some are saying...
Whatever you want to call me.
No wonder it's hard on the road.
Yeah. People can't get your name right.
Seriously, I'm 3 minutes into this conversation. I'm already falling apart. You do it all day, every day. Some people are saying that you were unfairly characterized as being out of touch the other day when you made that comment to a reporter wondering why the windows don't roll down on an airplane.
I know. That's true. Why don't they?
Well, no, I think, but then the reporter, a couple of days afterwards, after it had gone viral and circulated and people thought you didn't understand how airplanes work, a couple of days later, the reporter said, oh, no, I think he was only joking. And if it was just a joke, then, yeah, it's definitely been mischaracterized.
No, it's no joke. I mean, when I'm on a plane and I'm smoking a nice cigar.
You can't smoke on a plane.
Can't smoke on a plane.
I get a cigar and I light it with a nice $100 bill.
Right.
I get a Cuban cigar right there really going, really working.
Right. Those are illegal. You can't even have those, Mr.
Rodney. You get it down right down to the nub there and you're pretty much done with your nice smoke.
Right.
And then what do you do with it when you're on the airplane? How are you supposed to get rid of it?
Ashtray, trash can.
Well, the funny thing is they don't have ashtrays on planes anymore.
Because you're not allowed to smoke on airplanes anymore. That's why.
I roll down the window and toss the butt out the window of the plane. And then they tell you it doesn't work that way.
But you understand the whole thing.
Don't roll down.
Yeah, you understand the whole thing about the pressure inside and outside of the plane,
right? You're
right.
There's a lot of pressure running for president. No, I'm glad you agree with me. It's really hard. And
if you rolled down the windows while you're in an airplane, though, everything on the plane would get sucked out of the windows and everyone would die and the plane would go down.
Well, that's just negative thinking. Right.
And now, a moment with Bean.
1-800-520-1067 if you want to talk to Ronnie and Brandon from The Flowers. Hi, Matt.
Flowers?
Yeah.
They have not changed their name to The Flowers.
Sorry.
That was a moment with Bean.
I love The Flowers.
Because it's The Killers. And
they
name is...
sure appreciated that.
Oh, they thought it was funny. They thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Hey, party people. It's the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday. John Cryer, who just won an Emmy Sunday night on your television, is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And remember, Ralph, about a month ago when Kevin got that note that he was very snarky about, that note from the state of California that announced that he was one of the worst drivers ever?
How dare you present this like that?
Yes.
Remember when they said, Kevin, you are a menace. You shouldn't be on the road.
Oh, I'm insulted by that. I'm an excellent driver. I am the best driver.
How dare you, sir.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, we'll tell you how Kevin almost killed 100 people behind the wheel
children,
of the car.
100 children.
100 children behind the wheel of the car.
Of school.
No regard whatsoever to their health and safety. So we'll tell you that story after. First, though.
Dare you.
6:52, time for Showbiz Beat.
Oh, legendary singer Andy Williams has passed away at the age of 84 years. That's the Andy Williams video game you can play online.
Bean sound effect tribute to
legendary Andy Williams. Oh, 18 gold, 3 platinum albums, hit after hit after hit. Moon River, wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style.
You have to,
someday. That's probably his most famous hit. He hosted a bunch of TV specials, had a Christmas special every year. For a while there, he was one of the most popular entertainers in America. At the age of 84, Andy Williams has passed away. I would like, on this day, since we'll never probably hear the story again, I would like Bean to recount for me his legendary interaction with singer Andy Williams.
This is the best, too, because it seems like something like this would happen to me more.
Yes. But the guy who knows most things has to know everything, has to be, has to stay current, has to stay on top of all the information.
Loves all music and all old people.
Loves music, owns all the music.
That's enough setup.
I would just like to have Bean recount his interaction with Andy.
The 30-second version of the story is that I was a young punk working in a D.C., Washington, D.C. area record store when two older gentlemen came in and said they were looking for some Andy Williams Christmas music on cassette. Very popular format at the time. So I'm scanning the aisles looking for the Andy Williams stuff, and I said, Andy Williams, is that dude even still alive or what? And the one guy looks at his friend and says to me, this is Mr. Williams, and he's feeling fine.
Ladies and gentlemen!
And it turns out that they were in town because Andy Williams was performing at the White House for President Mrs. Reagan and wanted to refamiliarize himself with the arrangements on some of his Christmas songs that he was going to be performing at the White House with President Reagan as the punk clerk was asking whether he was dead or alive.
He deserved it if he doesn't have his own copies of his own music.
Well, I don't know. It'd probably been a number of years since he had sang some
he
of those.
He deserved someone to say, is he still alive just because he was looking for a copy of his
music? Why is he looking for his own CD? What a loser. I'm
telling you, Andy Williams thought about that story until today, until the day he died. He never...
Was that the last thought that went through his head?
Guarantee you, he told that story to friends, and he hated Bean every day of his life for the remainder of his life. That's making an impression on someone.
And I have felt terrible about it all these years because I, of course, then became a huge Andy Williams fan and just always felt terrible that I had embarrassed myself in front of him, but... Thanks for bringing that up, Ralph.
Well, I just thought it was appropriate homage to Mr. Williams as we talk about his past. We could add that at the end of that. Someone agreeing at the end. Willie Nelson, another musician.
He's okay, isn't he?
He is okay. In fact, he's ready to roll out a new autobiography.
Ooh, nice.
The title?
Weed.
Pretty much.
Chapter one, Weed.
The title of which is, and the reason I bring up the story, is because it's maybe one of the best titles of any biography ever. And Willie Nelson, new memoir.
Yep.
Entitled, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die.
There you go.
That's all you need to know. Stories of Willie's life, family, music, politics, Texas, religion, he promises, and oh yeah, he adds, weed.
That's so funny.
So there you go.
That's the title of a song he and Snoop Dogg did together that was released on 420 this year, by the way.
Well, there you
go. Very popular for him.
More music news. And again, this may seem like it's older music that we're talking about here, but it's relevant because of the nature of the music industry these days. And this one cheeses me off a little bit on several levels, and you'll understand. I'm a huge Springsteen fan, E Street Band fan.
Okay.
Especially Little Steve. Steve Van Zandt.
Little Stephen Hawking?
No. little Stevie, Steve Van Zandt. You may know him from the E Street Band, or more importantly, or perhaps more memorably, rather, for some casual Springsteen listeners, you may know him best for his role on The Sopranos. He played Silvio on that show. Hey, Tone. Hey, Tone. He was the guy with the shellac, the hair helmet, right?
That's right.
He is a huge fan of the band called The Rascals, which was one of the big bands of the 60s. Really did a lot of everything from, like, soul and pop and dance music. You know, the Good Love. And remember that song? That was them. They started with that all the way through psychedelic stuff in the 60s. It's irrelevant. The point
You're losing me.
He's a huge fan of that band.
All right.
And so he is putting together a series of reunion concerts. It's going to be a multimedia event.
No.
It's going to be the original members of the Rascals on stage with a lot of footage of the 60s and stuff. They're going to really make a sort of a presentation. So
no to that, too.
That's fine if he wants to, it's fine if he wants to do that. But here's how he's doing it. He's going on Kickstarter to raise $100,000 to get this project off the ground.
What?
Here's the thing. Kickstarter is great. The whole crowdfunding phenomenon, I think, is a great way for people who are broke-ass artists to get their stuff seen and developed. I don't need Steve Van Zandt, who's member of one of the most highest-grossing tour bands in the world, who's had several successful acting roles, with his hand out saying, give me $100,000 so I can put on a concert with my friends. If only
Oh my God, you're just saying that because you're jealous.
If only he had some close friends of his that could write him a check for $100,000. That's what they use for toilet paper. It's just a roll of checks of $100,000 that Springsteen wipes his ass with in Jersey every day.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's got his hand out to his fans saying, oh, help me put on this concert. And you know what? Can I be an investor and then I'll make some money back when you take this touring around the country? Oh, no. It's just you can get a copy of the DVD.
You just give it to him.
And a hearty hand clasp and a slap on the back and a thank you when this is all said
and then two bullets to the back of the head.
That's right. And then 22, boom, you're out. You're at the bada bing, and next thing you know, you're in a shallow grave. What the hell? You can't start having rich celebrity people start using Kickstarter.
What the hell indeed.
Right?
Agreed.
Yes. All right.
Agreed.
All right. Thank you. I'm glad we agree. I'm going to have a strong conversation with Mr. Van Zandt. We're going to have a talk.
I'm sure that'll work.
And while we're talking about money, really quickly, great list released today. Highest paid actors on TV this fall.
Highest paid actors on
Highest
TV.
Paid actors and actresses as we look at the returning hits of television this fall as the new shows are starting up. Here's the top 20 people who will make the most on television this coming fall.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling not on the list. this is how they work it. They take their reported salary per episode, multiply it by the number of episodes ordered for their show this season. That gives you how much money they're going to make this season.
Okay.
20th on the list with a little over $2.5 million is Alex O'Loughlin in Hawaii Five-0.
Wow, okay.
Come on. Really?
Steve McGarrett on that show?
He is Steve McGarrett on that show, and the reboot of Hawaii Five-0, Alex O'Loughlin.
Yeah.
Would you even know who that was if I just said that name?
Not
He's
in a million
one
years.
Of the top 20 paid actors this fall. Chris O'Donnell was 19th. Michael C. Hall is 18th. Alec Baldwin for the last season of 30 Rock is making almost $4 million, made him 17th. Paulie Perrette and Michael Weatherly from NCIS would both make well over $4 million this year. Makes them 16th on the list. Everybody in the cast of Modern Family will make $4.2 million this year. Ted Danson is 14th for his work on CSI. Neil Patrick Harris, who we'll be talking to later today, is making $5 million this fall for a series for the season of How I Met Your Mother.
By the way, overwhelmingly, these are CBS shows on this list. I think all but two so far you've named.
Tina Fey.
Big over there.
Tina Fey's making over $5 million for her work on 30 Rock. Tim Allen.
What?
Tim Allen's 11th on the list.
That show's even on?
Last Man Standing.
Huh.
He makes $225,000 an episode.
Wow.
Patricia Heaton for The Middle.
What's The Middle?
It's a show.
It isn't.
It is.
I
kind of
like The Middle.
Oh,
Lisa watching. That's all you need to know about that show.
Right,
it's a Lisa show. She's 10th on the list. She's going to make $5.6 million this year for The Middle.
Are these people who had success on another show?
And obviously.
And that's why they get so much.
That's the only explanation why Tim Allen and Patricia Heaton are making this kind of money.
Except they bring their fan bases with them to the new shows, maybe it sounds like.
That's the hope.
Smash hit Last Man Standing?
That's the hope.
The ratings juggernaut that is Last Man Standing? David Boreanaz of Bones makes almost $6 million. He's 9th on the list. Angus T. Jones, the kid from Two and a Half Men, is 8th on the list with $7.2 million.
Wow. Wow.
Damn.
Wait a second.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Wait, we were waiting for a second for Wow Bean?
He's making more than Neil Patrick Harris?
Yes!
That's what blows my mind.
He's making more than David Boreanaz, who's on a one-hour drama.
We got to tell Neil Patrick Harris everybody that's beating him.
Yeah, we do.
$300,000 per episode. That's what the kid makes on Two and a Half Men.
All right.
Simon Baker's making over $7 million for The Mentalist. See, that makes sense to me. A guy who's working a 14-hour day, cranking out an hour episodic drama, that's a lot of work. And Angus T. Jones shows up and goes,
yeah,
I didn't know where my socks were.
And by the way, no one is tuning in to Two and a Half Men for the kid.
No! Yeah.
That's the point, is the guy from The Mentalist, you tune in for him specifically.
Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, and Haley Cuoco from Big Bang Theory are sixth on the list, making a little over $7.2 million this year. Sandra Oh, Ellen Pompeo, and Patrick Dempsey, fifth on the list.
Okay.
They're making $8.4 million each. Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order SVU, $11.5 million she'll make this fall. She's fourth on the list.
Now we're talking some real cash.
Mark Harmon, NCIS, $12 million this fall.
He was going to be my guest for number one.
Wow.
Emmy Award winner, our friend we're talking to in a little bit, John Cryer, should change his name to John Laffer because he is making $14.4 million this season.
Are you kidding me?
Well, that was a situation where with Charlie going
situation
crazy.
Situation is not on the list.
No, but I'm saying they had to have him to even continue the show.
$14.4 million for a season's worth of work. That's $600,000 per episode.
That's unbelievable.
You know what's unbelievable? Ashton Kutcher is number one. Ashton Kutcher for Two and a Half Men is making $16.8 million for a season of Two and a Half Men.
Wow.
That is nuts.
Well, I mean, you look at those salaries at the top two spots. I guess we know why it's the number one show, you know, on television. I guess they justify that.
Wow.
It's the highest rated comedy there is.
Have you seen that show? Do you know what
not,
they do?
Not,
they
not
sit on a couch. And they say,
what? A bone? I thought you were talking about the turkey.
God, you're dumb.
Try it again.
Okay. Bone? I thought you were talking about the turkey. What? A cocktail's made from liquor? Liquor? I thought you were talking about the turkey.
There, you just wrote yourself a whole episode.
I wrote an entire episode of Two and a Half Men.
For your consideration.
Emmys, millions. What the hell's going on? What is going on? Today's celebrity birthdays. Serena Williams, 31 years old today. Christina Milian is also 31. Jim Caviezel, Passion of the Christ fame, of course. Persons of Interest. He is 44. Is it Person of Interest?
Person.
Persons of Interest. Person?
I think it's Person.
All right. That's a misnomer right there.
Well,
there's
I watch every episode.
One, there's more
I'm
than
not
one
sure.
person. There's more than one person
not
of interest
at a time.
On that show. It should be People of Interest
not at
or
a time.
Persons of Interest. Right. I'm writing CBS a strongly okay. worded letter. 44 years old today. Linda Hamilton from the Terminator movies is 56. And singer Olivia Newton-John celebrates her 64th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
$14.5 million a year for John Cryer. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind when we have him on here in about 10 minutes. I've got to tell you that. Or ask for a healthy loan. One of the two.
He deserves it. He's been working forever.
Yeah, that's
it's true. Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock for a Wednesday. So, Kevin, how'd you almost kill an entire school full of kids? What happened?
Well, that's not an exaggeration. I'd just like to start with that.
You know, have you been notified by the state of California that you're one of the worst drivers on the road?
That did happen. I was very upset about that. But what happened 2 days ago had nothing to do with me. I was actually a good driver on that day.
Okay.
In my neighborhood, there are the road narrows in many different places. I don't know if it's because people own too much land or something and it goes out a little further. But there are a lot of places where you have to literally slow down to get two cars through because it's just barely enough space. And by the grade school, people park along the side of that road to pick up their kids from school.
Right.
Well, 2 days ago, I was running an errand, and those cars were parked there, which gave us much less room even. Now you got to really slow down to get between. And I was watching, and my lane was going to narrow, and I had to kind of pull over to the left a little bit, and there was a Suburban coming at me. And the Suburban was not paying attention. And the Suburban started drifting over into my lane.
Oh, boy. And there's nowhere for you to go.
Nowhere, because my road was narrowing.
Right.
So
And I thought, okay, I have two options. I can either hit this guy head on, or I can just run right into the curb. My road was narrowing, and I would have hit a perpendicular curb.
How much notice did you have that you were going to hit something one way or another, whichever choice you made? Did this all happen in 2 seconds, or did you see the guy coming down the road?
No, it was probably a second and a half. But you know how most people use about 10% of their brain? I use about 2% on a regular basis, so I've got some room there. And everything slows down. I have a lot of thoughts, and I'm calm, and I'm okay. I just go, well, here are the thoughts that I had. Well, I'm going to hit this curb, and that's going to suck. But at least I'm not going to have a head on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then
that's really impressive. I mean, I know you don't have any control over it. I mean, your brain does what it does. But the fact that you were logical and didn't just freeze up and just wait for something to happen was pretty impressive.
I know this is going to be hard to believe about me, but I don't freeze. And when extreme pressure is put on, I'm really calm. Huh. I don't know why. It's just I'm lucky, I guess. But so here are the thoughts that went through my head. This is going to suck. And then I thought, what am I listening to on the radio right now? Because if I die, I don't want it to be, you know, Owl City or something. I want it. And it was the. And it was the
you
new,
had that thought?
I did. Just for a brief second, I thought, oh, I'm listening to the new No Doubt. So good. That's fine. Boom!
That's unbelievable. By the way, make a note. We have to do that phone topic of what went through your mind when you thought you were going to die. Like what flashed in front of you? Because people always talk about, they think about their whole lives or whatever.
Right.
You're the opposite of that. You're very present.
Very present. I mean, like when I flipped my car, when I almost hit a cow and I flipped my car three times, that was one of those things where once the car started flipping, I just thought, there's literally nothing I can do. So I guess I'm just going to hold on and hope. And I didn't panic, and I was fine.
Wow. How fast were you going?
Yeah, I was going about 30, slowing down to about 25.
And that car was going that fast as well? Whoa.
And it was a Suburban, so it would have wiped me out.
Yeah.
So when I hit, all of the tires on my car exploded.
Really?
Boom!
Oh, all four?
Three of the four did.
Oh, my God.
And then I got back. I got out. I tried to get the guy's license plate number. He just drove on. I don't even know if he saw. He had to hear.
Did he slow down?
No, not a bit.
Texting?
Just kept on going.
Don't know. Just kept on going, yeah.
Wow. Did you see him?
I didn't, no.
Was it a black guy?
I didn't see him.
Was it a Mexican guy?
I didn't see him. But if it's my neighborhood, yes.
Did the airbags go off?
They did not. Isn't that good to know?
That's interesting. Wow.
You would think. So then I just limped home on three flat tires because I did because I was relatively close. I had my coat.
What did the people?
Car towed.
What did the people around you do? Like people come running and like what
happened?
They're
just all watching. Like they didn't know what happened. I don't know.
They just thought you were a doofus who ran into the curb.
I guess. Listen,
they looked over. They went, "Oh, it's Kevin."
A lot of people when they see me, they think doofus. So that's probably the case. But.
If this was in front of a school, no joke, you should find out if they have cameras.
That's because a good idea.
And the reason I say that is a lot of schools do because they keep an eye on the school buses.
Oh, yeah.
I sat out yesterday. Who was it? You, Bean, or somebody that said?
Probably.
I said, go out there and wait for that guy to drive by again. Maybe he was there picking up a kid.
Yesterday, I went by and I sat at that exact same area in my rental car and, and waited to catch that guy and fell asleep.
So that happened. You're the man I want on my stakeout. John Cryer is on the phone. Emmy award-winning John Cryer on the phone. Here he is picking up his lead actor in a comedy award Sunday night at the Emmys.
Okay. Don't panic, people. Something has clearly gone terribly wrong. I'm stunned. Okay, I didn't actually win this. This did not just happen.
John, are you so good an actor that you were faking that, or were you really that surprised when they called your name?
I'm running out of synonyms for shocked.
But why? You've won an Emmy before. You know you're on a popular show. You know people like you. You knew you were one of five people whose names they could be called. How shocked could you be?
Well, when you put it like that, it sounds like I should have expected it. No, but come on. It was like a joke around town that I was even in the category. You know, so I did not even... I did not think of it in a million years. This is actually one of the first times I went to the show not nervous because I thought, well, I'm not going to win, you know.
Who else was in the category?
It was Don Cheadle, who I refer to as Don Freakin' Cheadle.
Sure.
He's so good.
Right.
Alec Baldwin, Larry David, Louis C.K., whose show is amazing.
Right. Wow.
And Jim Parsons, who only won 2 years in a freaking row. Okay.
All right, let me ask you a question. And this comes from, I love you, John Cryer.
Okay, let me preface this by saying, I love you, John Cryer.
Always loved you. We've had you on the show many times. You're super likable. You're a good guy. Are you funnier than all of them?
No.
Okay.
No.
Why, John, you're on the biggest comedy on television. Why do you say that it was a joke around town that you were even nominated? Why do you feel that way?
Because the show's been around for 10 years, you know, and I was amazed that the Academy members even watched, you know. But what's been nice is because the show had to be reinvented, it kind of forced us to find a lot of new stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's been just a blast, and that the Academy actually was paying attention was remarkable to me.
And you went from supporting to lead actor because of the change in the roles once Charlie left.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they hang the show much more sort of evenly on Ashton and I at this point.
Right.
And so it just felt silly to be in the supporting actor category.
And they are, let's face it, the show business people are the people who are voting, and I think they have a lot of respect for the way that you stepped up and took over and kind of continued the success of the program and the quality of the program, and I think you get a lot of credit for that. I mean, let's face it, there's no show if you would have left at the same time. It just would have folded, and you kept the thing afloat.
You're right.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Where were you during my contract renegotiation?
You're carrying that show is what we're saying.
That's right.
Thank you. That's very nice.
By the way, Two and a Half Men does come back for its all-new season, premiering tomorrow night at 8:30 on CBS. Thursday nights at 8:30 in its 10th season. Do you remember back in the 90s, John, when we used to have you on and the running joke, and you were always very kind to come on with us, was that you were the show killer. You put John Cryer on a show, and you're guaranteed to get 8 episodes before it's pulled. Remember back in those days?
Yes, I remember them very fondly.
It was true for a while.
It was a running joke because I would come on, I would promote my new show, and you guys would take bets on how long it would last.
Yes, that's exactly right. And now you're talking to us with your $14 million a year probably on a solid gold telephone, and you're in bed with a bunch of supermodels. I mean, how has your life has changed, my friend?
I'm on the toilet, actually, right now.
Oh!
In your honor. I'm going for my phone on the toilet.
Your gold-plated toilet.
My gold-plated phone on my gold-plated toilet.
Do you... I know you're having fun with Ashton. You guys get along and everything. Are you keeping in touch with Charlie Sheen at all, or is he just dead to everybody over there at Two and a Half Men?
He is by no means dead to everybody. The thing is, there was never any actual ill will. You know, it's funny because of the sort of the tabloid nature of L.A. and a lot of the media here. You know, it's fun to make a big conflict, but actually, you know, there was never anybody who was really, you know, angry at Charlie, only in that, you know, he's a guy with a substance abuse problem who's not getting any better,
right?
You know, and so there was a lot of frustration, as you have when somebody you really care about is going down that road. But there's never a time where we didn't like the guy.
I like that you mentioned, I think it was in your acceptance speech, that you pretty much had to call in every day and see if you still had a job.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it couldn't have worked out any better, because he's got a new show that he loves and he's happy with that people like. Your show is still on the air in huge numbers, and you guys are happy. So it sounds like it ultimately worked out the way it should have, I guess.
Yes, and it's just my hope that he stays happy and tries to be healthy. That's all I can hope for the guy.
Well, we know you got to go. We know you have a busy schedule. John, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. Two and a Half Men returns for its season premiere Thursday night at 8:30 on CBS. You're welcome anytime, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you,
great
John.
To hear you.
Bye now.
Neil Patrick Harris joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then your tickets for the Black Keys if you want to join us for our Breakfast with the Keys. And that's going to be at the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Ralph's got the showbiz beat on the way. A lot of show still to come. Adam Carolla, too. Kevin, you're going to be very excited on November the 14th. This may be the most interesting online program ever. 24 hours of reality, the Dirty Weather Report.
Oh, fantastic. Hot chicks?
No, I think it has to do with climate change. I think it's dirty weather, meaning, you know, the disappearing Arctic ice caps and whatnot.
With hot chicks delivering the news?
Close.
Giving us the report, being the anchors?
No, I'm sorry to say that. Well, the Dirty Weather Report, 24 Hours of Reality, is apparently spearheaded by our old friend Al Climate Change Gore, former Vice President of the United States.
What a letdown.
That just shows you how exciting that presentation is going to be if Al Gore is behind it. And I believe Mr. Gore is on the phone with us. It's been a long time since we've talked to Al, but he's back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. Vice President.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. It's been so long. How have you been, sir?
I've been good. How are you, fellas?
Did you ever get over losing that election, even though you won the popular vote?
Well, sometimes you just have to move on, and that's what I've been doing, trying to focus on climate change.
Right. Yeah, that is. You are a dog with a bone when it comes to the climate change. That's definitely your issue.
Well, it's very important for everyone to think about and to keep in our minds.
Now, this is 24 Hours of Reality, the Dirty Weather Report.
Yeah.
Is it going to be you for 24 hours?
That's right. It's going to last long. It's going to be a long-lasting report.
Wow.
I know. I hear Lisa Hay there.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe she's having a little bit of a drought going on.
Okay.
Next thing you know, there's a high-pressure system coming in.
I don't think you're actually talking about weather.
Uh-oh. Better get the lightning rod up there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So this is what the Dirty Weather Report is.
Cumulonimbus is moving in. Yeah. Oh, it just starts as a drizzle.
Okay. Al, this is not.
There's a flood coming.
Oh, we don't want to hear this from you.
Tsunami.
Are you kidding? We do want to hear this from you. What else you want? A slideshow?
Oh, then a. Bit of a change in the weather.
Oh, yeah. What's happening now, Al?
Looks like a big snowstorm.
Right.
Oh, about 10 inches.
Right.
Gonna be a blizzard. Lots of the white stuff flying.
Sure.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on, Al.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that a cyclone in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
This is the only reason he's doing this weather bit, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Heavy snow warning. We might get as much as a foot. Yeah.
A foot?
Uh-huh. That's right.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Al, I'm
Unless
not sure.
You prefer the black ice.
Wow.
Okay. Look,
then
Mr.
I got
Vice
a friend
President.
Who might come by.
I don't know that America is
Al
ready to
Roker.
See you talking.
Al Roker.
Oh, no. No.
Well,
please,
things
no.
are getting hot, though. Temperatures rising.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Has been a hot summer.
Tropical storm warning, I think. A little turbulence.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. Here comes a twister. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
sex
twister's going to drop down. It's going to touch down the twister.
Right.
It's going to be a tornado.
I think you're enjoying this weather too much, Mr. Gore.
Oh, it's going to lead to a typhoon.
A what?
A typhoon.
Okay.
And the next thing you know, it's over.
That's it?
Yeah. I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap.
You're not a good finisher.
I'm not Justin Bieber, you mother.
Yeah.
Billy Joe still sounds upset about something. I don't know what's going on there. Wow. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat now. And then, Neil Patrick Harris. You have a clever nickname for him, Ralph?
Neil
I know you have Yogo Lev. What do you got for Neil Patrick Harris?
Nipaha.
Nipaha.
Nipaha
will be here. Looking forward to talking to him.
Yeah. And then, talk to the toy pirate.
Yeah, Ralph's about to throw
the
down.
Toy carpetbagger.
Your mortal enemy is going to be on
toy
the show
thief.
Next hour.
Oh, I'm going to fool Jordan Hembro.
I would think that you guys, and we'll talk about this when we get him on, but I would think you guys would have a lot in common with
we
your
do.
Love for classic toys.
We do, but it's like the Sith and the Jedi.
Oh,
they have
no.
a lot in common. They both draw their power from the Force, but some use it for evil and some use it for good.
I see.
Which are you?
Gotcha.
He's the toy Sith. He's
oh, okay.
the toy Sith is what he is. And I'm the toy Jedi.
All right.
Hmm. Toys I collect.
Hey, this is cool. K-Rock all week long is giving away tickets to see No Doubt.
Yay!
It's the Gibson Amphitheater. We're giving away tickets in the first five rows all week. That's happening at 9 a.m., at noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m. That's when you have to listen to win. But however, they are giving me tickets to give away as well during the Showbiz Beat, which is very exciting. So I'm going to give them away right now. But I'm going to ask you a trivia question because I want real No Doubt fans to have a chance to see the band today in the third row.
Ha! Those of you that won yesterday.
Ha! With your fourth
Suckers.
Row ticket.
Losers.
Should have waited for today with the third row tickets. I wonder what row tomorrow's tickets will be in.
Eight?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Here's your trivia question. The name of the band, No Doubt.
What is the origin of that name? Where did it come from? Who came up with the name? No doubt. Where does it come from? No doubt. Where? Who? What? Why? No doubt. That's the question. Understand it? 1-800-520-1067. Call that number now. Tell me the origin of the name No Doubt for the band, and you will win a pair of tickets. How about that? In the third row. While we're talking about music, American music legend Andy Williams has passed away at the age of 84.
Dead.
Wow.
Wow, Homer's happy.
That's Abe. That's dead.
Abe is happy.
He, of course, hosted the Andy Williams Show on television, had multiple gold and platinum records. Here's the saddest part of the story. Passed away in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, no.
It's bad enough.
You don't want to be.
We had a theater out there, right?
Bad enough you got to go.
Much of the year there, right?
Bad enough you got to go, but you don't want to go in Branson, Missouri. That's the last thing you see. You look around and say, well, here I am in Branson.
This is bad as life gets.
It's all over.
I'm going to Branson. Maybe next year.
Of course you are. Of course you are. You know why? Because it's just the crap capital of the world.
It is the worst.
First of all, you've never been.
I have been.
I haven't,
but I don't have to go because I know it's the crap capital of the world.
I have been, and it is the crap capital of the world.
It's white trash in RVs going to see has-been bands in bad theaters.
How dare you? First of all, Kevin, did you go to the Jim Stafford show?
No!
Then you've got no reason to complain.
You know why I didn't go, Bean? Because it's crap.
It's crap.
How can you like it? It's crap.
I'm looking forward to it.
I can tell you without cutting off my arm that it would suck to cut off my arm. You know who else has a theater in Branson, Missouri? The Osmonds. They've got their own theater. Jim Stafford has a theater. Andy Williams had a theater. Bobby Vinton has a theater. It's just the crap capital of the world.
It's for people who no one will go see them anywhere else.
Yes. They've invented their own town. They've invented a city that will finally book them and allow them to play music.
But look, there are a lot of people who take up residency in Las Vegas because they just don't want to travel anymore. Why not let the world come
Vegas
to you?
Because Vegas is awesome.
And for people who can't take up residence in Vegas.
Right, they won't have them in Vegas. They go to Branson, Missouri.
You may not get a postcard from me when I go now.
Woohoo! Branson, Missouri, heaven's waiting room. That's where just...
Heaven's waiting room.
They're just wheeling the invalids by the busload to go see Bobby Vinton.
Oh, I don't have my tickets for the Vinton show yet. I got to work on that.
Man. That's what Bean does. He just goes through the list of bad places and picks the worst. And then he's all happy about it.
That's my next vacation stop.
Look, millions of people every year go to Branson,
Missouri. All of them are over 70.
It just
exists
because... And
over 250 pounds.
People like it, though. I'm just saying, just because it's not to your taste doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means, by the way.
Hey, Bean. When Ralph's doing his show, there's Bean. Shut the f***. Shut up!
It's our boss, Mr. Weatherby. No surprise, NBC is announced they're picking up two additional cycles of The Voice for next spring and fall after the series blockbuster ratings this summer. They've been crushing. Just crushing it. And I haven't seen an episode in a while, so I watched the episode before this week's Revolution. And I was checking it out. And boy, it really is the most entertaining by far of all the talent competition shows. I don't know whether it's the hook of the judges picking the contestants, making these teams or spinning around in those chairs, but it really is a lot of suspense and drama.
CeeLo Green can't reach the button.
That's always suspenseful. We'll see if he'll be able to get his Tyrannosaurus Rex arms up to the button to be able to press it.
And then I also looked a little bit more closely while I was on vacation. And by the way, I watched it on vacation too, and it's probably the best of those, but I still have no interest in it.
Oh, I'm hooked now.
His feet don't reach the ground either.
No.
CeeLo.
No.
His legs dangle.
He is a sci-fi character. He looks like just a giant body with little arms and legs. Like, so, I will come to planet Mipsor to take over our natural resources. Looks like an alien. And you got Christina Aguilera's boobs all hanging out. And I like that Blake Shelton, though. You know me, I hate country music, but I really like that Blake Shelton.
He's won over a lot of fans who didn't even know about him before just because he's got such a fun personality. Okay. He seems to really be enjoying himself, doesn't he?
He's a cool dude. I dig him.
I'm Carson Daly, and I'm a massive tool.
Well, that's the only downfall.
There is that.
Carson Daly's a massive tool. As previously announced, Usher and Shakira will be moving into the judges' spots next spring allow
Shakira.
Christina Aguilera to go on tour and CeeLo Green to roll off the stage wherever he is
Shakira
going.
Shakira won't be able to reach anything either. She's a midget.
She's a midget, right?
Tiny. And she'll be pregnant by then.
No.
Who knows? She'll look like CeeLo Green. Little arms and legs dangling with a big belly.
It's weird. If you put CeeLo Green and Shakira had a baby, it would be Brad Williams.
That's true.
Friend, the comedian, yes.
Yes, just tiny. Now we know what caused Lindsay Lohan to head to the hospital for her her airtight lungs. They say it could have been her wild lifestyle. She went to an outdoor party in Central Park on Saturday night. It wound up pouring down rain, and she got soaked because she wouldn't leave the party. She just stayed there. I guess the bar was still open, so she was still there.
That probably happened to another 5,000 people as well.
Well, she got sick, apparently, and had to go to the ER and get her her lungs pumped.
Airtight.
Whatever they do.
I think Ralph hit the nail on the head. You can't pull Lindsay away from an open bar.
No.
It doesn't matter what's going on.
No. You can't pull her away from a lot of things. Hey, congratulations to Dwayne Chapman, better known as Dog the Bounty Hunter. He was fired from A&E after negotiations for a ninth season fell through. So the cable ratings juggernaut CMT has picked up the series. And there will be 10 new episodes beginning sometime this spring or summer. So
that's a dog.
Dwayne Chapman's working again.
Is that country music?
I guess CMT?
I think.
Yep, that's what it is.
Country music.
But they're like so many of those cable channels, that's where they started, and now they've branched off into lots of different kinds of programs.
That means that bounty hunter Jake Montrose will be battling with Dog on basic cable next year.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's going to be a battle.
I'm voting for Jake. I think he's the way to go. It's the character I play in Joe Schmo coming up in January. Bounty hunter Jake Montrose.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Yeah, no one did. Let's see if we have an answer to my trivia question.
Good luck.
Zashi?
Zashi, yes.
Zashi.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, can we disqualify her just based on her name? Is that legal?
The name No Doubt comes from. Where's the name Zashi come from?
My brother Alex named me.
What? Alex? He's got a real name, and he called you Zashi?
What, was he two? It was the only thing that came out of his mouth?
Yeah, he's probably saying sushi. Who knows?
Wow. Is he your baby brother?
No, he was a year and a half.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, he wouldn't be able to name anybody if he was younger than you.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a made-up name, though. There's no history in the family or anything like that. You're the first and probably only Zashi.
What if your name was Asshor?
That's not the case at all. It'd be better. How do you spell your name Zashi?
It's S-Z-A-S-H-E.
Nope.
I know. I wanted to call in to say, like, hey, I'm one of those people with an effed up name.
You certainly are.
But you sound like you have a wonderful personality.
Oh, you. I love you guys.
You have to make up for that name with something.
I guess so.
You develop a great personality.
I am hot.
You're hot? You're a hot Zashi?
Uh-huh.
The hottest Zashi in the world.
I'll send a photo.
All right, send a photo.
Send us a photo. We're giving you tickets to see No Doubt in the third row. How about that?
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations. Hold on.
Fire beer mug.
Fire beer mug.
Right there with you, buddy. Right there with you.
What was the answer, though?
Who cares?
Oh, that's right.
We never got the answer. We're going to put Zashi back on the phone. Zashi?
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Wait. Yeah.
You have to answer the trivia question. Oh, where did the name No Doubt for the band come from?
It was a favorite phrase from John Spence, the original singer who unfortunately committed suicide.
Yeah, John Spence and Eric Stefani put the band together, and it was his phrase, and that's why they used it. And as you mentioned, he sadly passed away the first year of the band. But that's right. Thanks so much for calling in, Zashi.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
Hold on. We're going to give you details. Zashi. It's not a name.
She's right about that whole beer mug thing, though.
Hell yeah. We should have... That should be like the thing to get to win tickets. To win tickets to No Doubt tomorrow, you just have to get beer mug fired.
Let's make sure.
Let's make some fire beer mug shirts.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Olivia Newton-John is 64 years old today. Linda Hamilton of the Terminator movies turns 56. Jim Caviezel of Person of Interest is 44. Christina Milian is 31. And Serena Williams is 31 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I'm going to try not to geek out with Neil Patrick Harris on the phone, but who's better than NPH, you guys? Who has done it all more than Neil Patrick Harris, the star of the web and the stage and the big screen and the little screen, and now he's slumming on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Mr. Harris. Welcome, sir.
What up, homeboys?
What up to you indeed, my friend. So how are you, first of all? What's going on? You have a good time at the Emmys the other night?
So far, things are good. I woke up 8 minutes ago to crying children, but now they're downstairs. David's making pancakes.
Now, did you
all is good in that world. I didn't go to the Emmys because I wasn't nominated.
How could they even have the Emmys without you? That doesn't seem possible.
I have to say, it was kind of exciting to...
Did you watch it?
To sit in my living room with, like, a few friends and some chips and dip and sweats and tank tops.
Did your friends at any point say, sure would have been nice if you were nominated?
Actually, no, dude. I'm a big fan of television, and I love the award... I love the award sort of cycle, but I love it more as a viewer. Than yeah. when you're there, it's long, and you know you have to go to the bathroom, and you can't eat anything, and you're stressed if you're nominated, and if you're at home, you just get to make fun of people's dresses.
Absolutely. Now, so, as a guy who's hosted an awards show and with tremendous reviews when you did the Tonys, what did you think of the job our friend Jimmy Kimmel did?
I thought Jimmy did a fantastic job, actually. I was a big supporter and proponent of his when his name was chosen because he makes perfect sense. I mean, it's great to have a host doing that job. And I thought he played it perfectly. He didn't try to do a big, you know, he didn't go outside his comfort zone in the perfect way.
He didn't try to be Neil Patrick Harris. Is what he didn't try to do. I mean, you have different skills that he does not have.
Yeah, there's a few options that you can do to open the show. And I think he played it really well.
I agree.
I know you're on to talk about Delusion, the Blood Right, and we are going to get right to that. But I have to ask briefly because we never have you on. You love magic, right? That's your thing. Like, magic is a passion of yours, for reals?
Indeed, yeah. It's been my hobby since I was 8 or 9 years old.
Do you tell people that?
Magic's super cool. What does that mean?
Magic is super cool is the quote.
I'm the president of the Magic Castle here in L.A.
You are?
Yeah. So
can you be so cool and be such a dork at the same time?
Oh, you haven't seen good magic then.
No, I haven't.
And the reason I brought it up before we talked about Delusion, the Blood Right, is do you use some of your magic skills to make the Delusion thing work to – and I guess explain to people what we're talking about and then tell me if there's some magic involved in what we'll be seeing when we go down there.
A little bit. You know, I love I'm such a proponent of live things, of people going out and actually doing stuff, seeing things live, whether it be going to the Magic Castle and seeing a magic evening, or going to Cirque du Soleil when it's in town, or going to see local theater or big time theater, Book of Mormon's here. I just think that we get in ritual where we just end up, you know, watching TV that you've DVR'd, you know, for 3 hours and then going to sleep every single night. And there's something uniquely inspiring, I think, about seeing things live. So there's no better time to do that, in my opinion, than sort of the Halloween season. Because, you know, you get dressed up and there's lots of haunted houses and there's lots of not scary farm is super awesome to get scared and to, you know, run through mazes. But I always wish that there had been something uniquely theatrical and scary in Los Angeles, of all places, with the special effects makeup and with the stuntmen and all these opportunities that I feel like are missed when you go sort of to the generic walk-through haunted house.
All right, so describe Delusion, the Blood Right, but first I have to tell you, in the pitch meeting, the King of Mexico is like Neil Patrick Harris. We all said yes immediately, and then he said, hold on, hold on. It's about a haunted house. And we said, what? And then he said, it's not a haunted house. It's kind of a play. And we were like, what?
No, it's totally true.
In the end, we just said yes because it was you. We have no idea what this is.
Well, but that's exciting because I found this last year. It was called Delusion, and this year it's like a new chapter, Delusion, the Blood Right. And it takes place in an actual mansion near Koreatown. And groups of 10 go through every 15 or 20 minutes, and it's like uniquely scary. There's a story that's involved. There's lots of trippy visuals that happen, and it's sort of like the higher up level of super scary haunted theater kind of
so
thing.
Is it kind of like the thing that we've heard about where people go to a murder mystery at a theater where they kind of are participating in the action as it unfolds? It's a real life story in progress?
For sure, yeah. It takes place essentially in 1918. We did the dress rehearsal of the show last night. I was there till 1:30, and you wander, you don't wander, but you're led from room to room, and people are taken from your group and off to sent to do individual sort of missions. You have to accomplish tasks, hand people things in order to move to the next place.
Are you in it?
People chasing you.
Are you in it?
I may be in it now and again. I'm not in it with regularity, but there's a lot of exciting parts, and I was more excited than ever last night because I love to jump into those kind of things. So, yeah, you never know when you go whether it's going to – who you're going to see.
Let me give out the details for folks who want to see it. It sounds like a haunted house unlike any other you have ever experienced. It's called Delusion the Blood Rite, and it's on Harvard Boulevard, 2218 South Harvard Boulevard. Now, is that in a theater or in a house that was built or a set or what?
No, it's a proper mansion. It's a real, actual mansion. It's like a decrepit old mansion that we've found and tricked out with all kinds
of... Wow.
Is it one of your dozens of mansions?
There's stunt rigging. There's all kinds of crazy things that transpire. But go to hauntedplay.com. There you can see a trailer about it.
Okay.
You can buy your tickets because we have to sell tickets in small groups. It's kind of limited because of the smaller number of people that we get through. So it's
gotcha.
It's a better thing to do a couple days in advance.
It runs selected dates from tomorrow through November the 10th. Again, the website is hauntedplay.com for the trailer and the complete calendar.
Guys,
it's called Delusion.
Are you guys fans of the scary?
I totally. Love scary.
Absolutely.
Love, but I don't go to most haunted houses because they're not.
Well, most haunted houses, they're not haunted or
no,
they're not
scary. Just not scary. It's just you walk through and there's a fake person with fake guts coming out and you just go, okay, I've seen that.
I have to agree. Most of them that I experience, because I love them, are all marketing. And, you know, this cool billboard or a cool advertisement.
Right.
And then you go to it and you're waiting in a long queue line and then you finally go in and you're like, okay, there's the scary clown room.
And right.
Scary maze.
And you go, all right,
this
that's
much,
lame.
Much different than that.
Okay.
And there's a bar.
Wow. All right.
Sold.
Why you bury the lead?
All right. Listen, we know you got to go. You got pancakes on the stove. Congratulations on this. Congratulations on everything. Please come back and see us sometime soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
I'd love to. Let's do it for twice as long next time.
Thank you. We appreciate the time, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Oop, I didn't hear what he was he was just trying to say. Oop. All right, we need to let you know that we're going to have our breakfast with Black Keys coming up. So if you would like to join us, we're going to play Omaroki.
Oh, no.
So we apologize
that.
For that.
We all voted against that. What happened?
I don't know. But that's going to happen. If you want to go, if you'd like to join us for our breakfast with the Black Keys, it's 1-800-520-106. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We'd like to apologize right now to everybody listening.
How dare you?
Very sorry for what's about to happen.
DJ Omar Khan.
You can go to DJOmarKhan.com, and you should, by the way, for some of DJ Omar Khan's awesome mixes, and you can also hire him to be a mobile DJ. There's a click right there on the website. And by the way, I wanted to bring this up because Omar's an awesome DJ, and he will not sing if he plays your event. I don't want anyone to be scared off by this.
Yeah.
If you, hear him doing... Really?
There was one time there was a bride and groom that insisted. They were drunk out of their minds. Oh, dude, you gotta sing!
Awesome.
And I was like, no, you know, I don't think so, but it's the bride and groom. What are you going to do? So
sing.
I hopped on the mic. Yeah.
Do you remember what song they had you do?
They just wanted to clear the place.
I don't remember. It was like an 80s song. I forget what song.
Sweet.
It was. It was an 80s.
Well,
song.
Don't you love me, baby?
Probably. Yeah.
He's awesome spinning. He's awesome with the mixes and the music. Not so much with the singing. And that's why we always enjoy giving you the chance to win tickets with Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Now, the game this time is joining us, Kevin and Bean, in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock a week from Friday. It's Breakfast with the Black Keys, so obviously Omar today is going to be singing songs you know here on K-Rock from the Black Keys. You ready to go, O?
Yep.
All right.
Who's our first contestant?
Michael, payroll specialist. Hi, Michael.
Hey there.
We apologize for what you're about to hear, but tell us what the title of the song is, and you'll go into the drawing, okay?
I actually like his singing, so it's not bad.
Thanks, Michael.
Oh, you're such a kiss-ass.
I wanted love. I needed love. Most of all, someone said true love was dead.
Ouch.
And I'm bound to fall.
All right.
Bound to fall for you.
Thank you, Omar. That's plenty. We don't need the whole goddamn song.
That actually sounded like the original version, which is Tighten Up.
Yes, it did.
How about that?
I needed love.
I don't know how you got that, but congratulations.
All right, Jose is up next. He's on line two for Omaroki. Hi, Jose. Ready to play?
Hell yeah, I'm ready to play.
Good
luck already.
Can you make it a week from Friday?
Maybe.
Will you still be with us?
Well, your mama kept you, but your daddy left you.
Yes, lonely boy.
Let me finish the song.
No,
not
necessarily. He's doing all of the listeners a favor by jumping right into it.
Jesus.
Thank God for Jose. Let's go to Tiffany now on line three. Tiffany is a nurse, by the way. I like to think of all of our listeners as being named Tiffany and nurses. Hi, Tiff. Welcome.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
No one's gotten it wrong yet, so no pressure.
Cloud-covered loves, barbed wire snare, strung up, strung out. I just can't go without.
Hold on the ceiling.
Omar.
Thank you, Omar.
Hey, you turned off my mic.
Nicely done, Tiffany.
Thank you. Cloud-covered
love. Just like the original.
I got to tell you, it really gives you an appreciation for the Black Keys, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly does. All right. I'm going to say we might only have time for one more.
I'm going to
say
Omar.
Definitely we have time for one more.
And
it's going to be Renee on line four. Hi, Renee. We're 3 for 3 doing Omaroki for Black Keys. So the pressure's on you, my friend. Good luck.
All right.
There's something wrong with this plot. The actors here have not got a clue. Baby, I'm howling for you.
Why would you
howling
put
for you?
Wait a minute. Why would you put the title in it?
I did.
Something wrong. Why would you put the title in
honestly,
it?
Honestly, I thought nobody was going to get Baby, any of them, so I wanted to make one super easy.
Wow. All right. Michael's in the drawing. Jose, Tiffany, and Renee. Only one can win. Who will be joining us at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock on Friday, a week from, with Breakfast with the Black Keys?
It is Drunk Jose.
Drunk Jose.
Yeah.
Drunk Jose.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not drunk. I'm high.
All right.
Okay. That's much better.
Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Adam Carolla joins us next hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up. Speaking of Ralph,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, here I am. I'm here.
All right. Here's the bio slug line for our next guest, Jordan Hembro, who, of course, is the toy hunter on the Travel Channel Wednesday nights at 10. He's on the phone. But let me read this bio sentence and tell me if this is you or if this is him. A self-professed comic book geek and film buff,
me.
Jordan was bitten by the collecting bug at an early age as he adorned his bedroom wall with Star Wars toys and comic hero action figures.
Me.
You guys are the same person. Why do you hate him so?
I don't hate him. I envy him.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jordan.
Good morning. I'd just like to give you a heads up. This might not go very well.
It's going
to
go fine.
All right.
It's just I have a bone to pick.
Yeah, Ralph, it's like you're my doppelganger out there on the West Coast, man. You're just like me.
And you know, I grew up in Philly, Jordan. And I know you're a Jersey boy.
I am. I'm a Jersey boy.
Yeah, so we were there at the same time, the same part of the world, going through the same geektastic childhood.
I love it. You got to come on the show and do a toy hunt with me, man.
Well, here's the thing. I am also a toy collector. I have a huge collection of 1960s Batman toys.
Beautiful.
And I have to tell you, sir, I envy you. I enjoy your show. I watch it every week. But you, sir, are a scoundrel.
Wait, you're going to go as strong as scoundrel?
I am going to go as far as to say scoundrel.
Wow, that doesn't get
Ralph,
fight
Ralph,
words.
That's actually one of the nicer words I've been called recently.
Well, that's the nicest word he's used about you as well.
And here's why, Jordan, because you go to people's homes, to other collectors, and you pay pennies on the dollar, sir, for these premium toys.
In my defense, I always tell them what I'm going to sell it for, and I always make sure they're comfortable with it. I say, I'm going to put it out for $100. Are you okay with $50? And they usually come back and say $80, and we usually end up at $60, $65. Off camera, I'm always making sure that they're comfortable. And I say, you okay with it? They're like, yeah, no problem. It's just going to go in the garbage anyway.
Off camera, you're making a mint off of these suckers.
But, Ralph, isn't that what buying and selling is about? That's how commerce works. Buy low, sell high. That's the way the world was
built.
That's
how art works. That's how everything works.
But Jordan's a pirate, and I think he's taking advantage of these people. I can imagine him coming to my home and paying a pittance for a high-quality 60s Batman toy,
but
and then going somewhere and selling it for a huge amount of money.
But you wouldn't sell it to him.
I would not.
You think he's taking advantage of people who don't know what they have?
Yeah, I think Jordan goes to these backwater towns in Georgia and stuff, and is just, he's a toy rapist is what he is, basically.
A rapist? That's fighting words.
That is a little strong.
But Jordan, couldn't you argue that you've got the connections to sell the stuff that they don't have? They're also paying for your expertise when you take the stuff out of their garage, right?
I can argue that. You know, Ralph does bring up a good point, and it's a very, very valid point. The toy dealer world is nothing. It's very, very much like just wholesale and retail in the real world as well. You know, you got the wholesale, you got the retail, and then you got the final, you know, end sale. When I talk to all these people and when we cast them and we talk with them and for the show, you know, we essentially say, what are you doing with this stuff? And a lot of people tell me, they're like, you know what, if you guys don't come and work with me, I'm probably going to put them at a garage sale or I'm going to throw a lot of them out. And that does happen a lot of times. There's a lot of times off of camera, I'll walk off with what I bought, and a couple of people have actually come up to me and said, you know what, just take the rest of it. Just get it the heck out of here.
So you're actually a hero.
I'm a toy savior.
You're a toy protector.
Can I tell you what the most fascinating thing to me is, and I am not in the world that you and Ralph inhabit of being the toy collector, but when I've watched the show, Jordan, I am fascinated that I thought, well, the older stuff is the most valuable stuff. That's what the dude is looking for, is stuff from the 50s, the 60s. It turns out that there's stuff from the 80s and 90s that's still shockingly valuable, even though it's not that old. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, you know, it's very interesting. I just got this question the other day. I was over at the Travel Channel office, and the thing is, the stuff from the 40s and 50s isn't really as valuable as it used to be because there's really no one around to buy it.
Yeah, they're all dead, the fans of those toys.
Exactly. The sad fact is, everyone died. I mean, when I got into this industry, I was hunting around flea markets for Marcus Welby, MD, you know, medical kits, and Sergeant Bilko Bullhorns. But if you talk to someone today, they're like, who's Sergeant Bilko? Who's Marcus Welby?
Yeah, they want He-Man and Thundercats, right?
He-Man, Thundercats, Jurassic Park, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, all that stuff is coming back. And if, you know what? In 10 years, the 90s and 2000s will be valuable. It jumps, you know, 10 years. Every few years, it jumps ahead.
But I saw you, Jordan, on an episode run across one of my holy grails from my collection that I have not yet been able to get. It's the Mattel Batmobile X-15. That ride him car.
And it is an absolutely beautiful piece.
And it was in pretty good shape, and I think you paid the guy like $100 for it.
$100, $150.
Yeah, and that can go for $700-$800 in nice condition, maybe even a grand.
Yeah, but not in that condition. That thing had some serious issues that you guys didn't see. It had rust on the wheels. It had rust underneath. One of the pedals was actually broken that you really couldn't see too well, and also had some decal damage. So I've got to actually add some restoration to that.
Ralph sounds jealous, by the way.
I'm very jealous. He is running. He had a bat bomb in the same episode. That was my favorite episode, really, the 60s Batman stuff you found. I just envy your life.
Everyone loves the 60s, the 60s one. Ralph, I'm actually looking for a 1960s ideal Batman utility belt. Do you have one?
I have one, but it's not complete. I'm missing the bat message sender and the bat bomb from that. But I got everything else, including the original foil label, Jordan.
Oh, are you missing the bat bomb?
Yeah.
You know what? I still have the bat bomb. Call me.
All right. Okay.
Oh, my God.
We're going to work something out.
What an incredible dork fest.
Jordan, let me ask you this. Obviously, you've learned that Ralph is obsessed with the 60s Batman. He literally has an entire wing of his home that's all Batman memorabilia. Do you have a personal collection that is as precious to you as Batman is to Ralph?
To be honest, I don't have a very extensive collection at all because I really don't collect too much anymore. But what's really personal to me is I've got my toys from when I was a child, my vintage Star Wars action figures. And they're kind of beat up and they're kind of ratty. But you know what? They're mine.
I'll give you 50 cents for it.
Got it.
Jordan, what is the holy grail of Star Wars memorabilia, the one item that you're always happiest to find on the road?
I'm really always happy to find original figures in really good condition in the packaging. Because people come to me and they're like, do you want to find rare prototypes for 18 grand? Do you want to find movie props? But that stuff is really hard to sell. You've got to have a really niche audience for that. So when you're talking about selling on an everyday basis to an everyday collector that I can really sell, you know, a lot of, I say, I'm always happy to find the original action figures in really good condition in packages because there's always an audience for something like that.
And some of those rare ones, like the Luke Skywalker double lightsabers and those kind of stuff, I mean, they're getting big, big money now.
They absolutely are. In fact, you know, a lot of people don't even know that very early on, there was a very few. There was a run of salesman samples that got out onto the market, and some of those things are going for $17,000 on a card right now.
What?
Extremely rare.
That's crazy.
Kevin just had a stroke. Yeah. We are talking to Jordan Hembro. He is, of course, the toy hunter, and the name
toy
of the show
bandit.
Is
Toy Bandit,
Toy
Pirate,
Toy Pirate.
Wednesday nights at 10 on Travel Channel. Do you have a website also where people can go to try to buy or sell with you, Jordan?
Absolutely. You can go to my website. It's HollywoodHeroes.com, and you can check us out there. Or you can go to the Travel Channel website under the show Toy Hunter, and there's a little link right there. And I got to tell you, Ralph, if you are a fan of 1960s toys,
yes,
you've got to check out tonight's episode, man, because we are going way back into the 60s. All great stuff. Halloween episode tonight on Travel Channel at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific.
Well, Jordan, Halloween, that's good.
As furious as you make me sometimes, I do tell you, I love the show, and there's such a fun adventure watching you go along and unearthing this stuff and finding it. It's really, for a toy geek like me, it's just so much fun.
It's a happy memory, and that's exactly what the show is. It's a great happy memory to just geek out on for a half hour.
All right, man. We appreciate the time. We'd love to do it again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye,
guys.
Now. Sounds terrible.
That's awesome.
That sounds like the worst show ever.
Even though he's a toy rapist.
People looking for toys.
Ralph, your idea that I should go to Branson on vacation is a good one. And
yeah.
I got to tell you that the Kevin and Me listeners are coming through. Gail reminds me that the world's largest banjo is in Branson, Missouri.
Wow. Well, you have to go now.
This place has everything that I love.
A listener reminded me that Yakov Smirnoff also has his own theater in Branson, Missouri.
I'll
Yakov
make a note of that.
Smirnoff.
Bean makes a habit of going to places no one would ever want to go on vacation.
Except for millions of people a year who do.
Hold on. I give you Blythe. Bean went to Blythe one time.
That's in the center of the desert, isn't
right
it?
Right on the border of Arizona and California. He went there for vacation.
I think Blythe is underrated. I think there's a lot going on that you don't know about, man. 8:53, Adam Carolla next hour, and the funniest Tourette's video you'll ever see, all coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
In Russia, you don't line up for concert, you line up for toilet paper.
That's Yakov Smirnoff.
That's Yakov Smirnoff, yeah.
And about your banjo?
World's largest bullshit. World's largest bullshit.
I sometimes wake up in a cold sweat.
Yeah.
In night, thinking, what if I was Bean?
Yeah.
and then I look around and I realize it was just a nightmare, and then I'm able to go back to sleep.
But the answer in your mind, I'm guessing, is the same answer in my mind, which is immediate suicide.
I couldn't kill myself fast enough. I would get friction burns from moving through the air to find myself a box cutter to take to my wrist.
Not everyone talking is getting an Osmond's t-shirt from their Branson Theater when I go.
Oh, man.
That's correct.
Hey, let me give away some tickets. I've got passes to the red carpet premiere of a scary movie just in time for the Halloween season, Sinister.
Yay!
This looks spooky as all get out. Stars, really a talented cast. Ethan Hawke is the lead in this film. Plays a true crime novelist who moves his family into a home where the previous family was murdered. He comes across some film footage that helps him understand what happened there because a supernatural entity is in the house and in the footage he's watching.
And when you watch the footage, the demon is released.
Sinister is in theaters everywhere on October the 12th. However, Monday, October 1st is the red carpet world premiere. Would you like to go? Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through. Win a pair of tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Sinister. Andy Williams is dead. That's one of the reasons we were talking about Branson, Missouri so much.
Well, today. Life goes on.
Except for you.
Means touching tribute.
Andy Williams was a singer with much success, really, throughout the 60s and 70s. He was on television all the time, back when there were only three networks, and they didn't have anything else to put on. So they put Andy Williams on the show, and he fell out of favor. Not a very popular guy anymore, but he did have a theater in Branson, Missouri, where you could go and watch him perform.
Ugh.
And Bean wants to go there.
Well, not as much now that I can't go see the great Andy Williams show.
No, you can't. The guy who Bean said as a youth, Andy Williams, is he dead? To Andy Williams. He
said
that to him.
Face, yeah.
It's a new movie in the works. It sounds like a Kevin movie. It sounds very loud.
Ralph was making fun of me because I said certain movies need volume.
You
more
did
volume.
Not say that at all.
Loudness, whatever.
The first thing you said was, I like loud movies.
Right.
Yeah.
That means good sound, good volume. Some movies are way too
just
soft.
Turning a movie up doesn't make it good.
It helps. It helps.
It doesn't.
If there's an explosion, I want to feel it. Of course it does.
But just a loud movie, by definition, it's not a category. You can't like, oh, you know what? I like Westerns. Oh, really? I like romantic comedies. I like loud movies.
Certain genres.
It's not a category.
Certain genres, and most of the ones I like, action and stuff like that, you need them to be loud. It's important.
But you didn't say, you know what? When I see an action movie, I'd really like to have the volume turned up. You said, I like loud movies.
Really, your complaint is that I didn't say it right.
I love Lamp. Here's your loud movie. It's called Robopocalypse. What happens when the robots take over? Robopocalypse. It's the best title since Sharktopus.
Wow.
The Robopocalypse. Chris Hemsworth and Anne Hathaway apparently going to star.
It's also known as the Terminator.
Yeah, that kind of has been done before. But look, let's not nitpick, shall we? While we're talking about films, Jamie Alexander, one of the stars of Thor, sustained a pretty horrible injury while shooting this week. She hasn't spilled any of the details yet. No one on the set is talking, which I think is strange. But she did tweet she was lucky that she's not paralyzed.
Dude. Wow.
And thanked everyone on the set that's been looking after her.
Wow.
So it sounds like it was pretty horrific. No word yet, but I'll follow up on that, and we'll try to find out what's going on. Highest paid actors on TV this fall. The list has been released. Some big surprises on the list. I won't go through all 20 of them, but I'll give you the top 10. How about that? Patricia Heaton is 10th on the list, making $5.6 million for The Middle.
Wow.
That's a show.
And this is after years of making huge money on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah. I can only assume that's what happens when you run a show like Everyone Loves Raymond that was a monster hit. The next show that you do, you get to say, look, right. I was on that show, and I may bring you that audience. I'm not sure how The Middle is doing. In fact, I didn't know The Middle was a TV show until I read this story.
I didn't either.
But I guess they figure it's worthwhile.
All right.
David Boreanaz of Bones was number 9. August T. Jones from Two and a Half Men. He plays the kid on that show. $7.2 million he's going to make this fall.
That's unbelievable.
Just for this season of Two and a Half Men.
How old is he now, Ralph? Do we know?
I would just hazard a guess to say 18?
15, 16? Really, as old as 18? So he'll never need to work another day in his life after the show ends.
Well,
right?
Come on.
He's set.
Drugs are expensive.
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
All right.
Ask any of the Home Improvement kids how long the money lasts. I'm just saying.
That's alleged.
Simon Baker from The Mentalist was 7th on the list. Jim Parsons, Johnny Galecki, and Kaley Cuoco, the big three from The Big Bang Theory, are making $7.2 million each. That puts them 6th on the list. You know, the other two guys are like, really? What? It's because I'm an Indian. I don't get that kind of money. Is that what's going on? Sandra Oh, Ellen Pompeo, and Patrick Dempsey are all making $8.4 million for this season of Grey's Anatomy. Mariska Hargitay is making over $11 million for Law & Order SVU. She's 4th on the list. Mark Harmon with $12 million this season is 3rd on the list. John Cryer, $14.4 million for Two and a Half Men. And his co-star, Ashton Kutcher, is number 1 on the list. He is making $15 million.
Wow.
For his work. I think it is. I can't find the other page of this list. Oh, no. Sorry. $16.8 million, I just found. That's what he's making for one season. It's pretty spectacular. Today's celebrity birthday, Serena Williams is 31 years old today. A lot of complaints, by the way, being ringing for Serena Williams.
Really? What do you guys think? I think she's very pretty.
I do, Belle.
I think you should ring her.
Really?
She's a little beastie.
Yeah.
She's a little beastie.
But still sexy.
She's a wee beastie.
I'd say
she's
yes.
She's very muscular. I mean, she's more muscular than I think most of us like her.
She's
women,
more muscular than Shaq.
I know that much.
I think she's very pretty, though.
I'm saying.
I'd go, Belle.
She's Shaq-esque in her muscularity. Christina Milian is 31 years old today. Jim Caviezel from Person of Interest is 44 years old. Linda Hamilton celebrates her 56th
No complaints
birthday.
On Linda Hamilton, despite her age?
Well, Kevin, of course, has a problem, but I haven't got any emails about Linda Hamilton.
All right.
And Olivia Newton-John is 64
years
old.
We could all agree
today.
There, right?
I don't know.
I've seen her.
You don't have to ring the bell off the table.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not at the Grease premiere.
Maybe just one tepid bell. Just a little light.
Just sort of a fond farewell bell, like a nice memory bell.
A little softer.
Yeah, a little bit less.
There you go.
That's more appropriate. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Yeah, let me tell you what I hate. I hate phones. I hate telephones. They don't ring, and then they don't ring, and then people call and.
Come on.
I don't pick it up, and I hate phones.
It was a misunderstanding,
and
Adam Carolla has been very generous with his time throughout the years.
Not a phone guy.
He does join us on the phone right now. Hey, Ace Man, how are you?
I was doing well until I was verbally assaulted.
Yeah, seriously. Adam is going to be on stage next at the Ventura Music Festival with special guest Lisa Lampanelli. That's going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Ventura. And by the way, Lisa, not only very funny, if you have not seen her lately since the drastic weight loss, what has she lost? About 80 pounds, Ace Man?
Yes, but not an ounce of funny.
There you go. Ventura Music Festival, again, it's September the 26th, which I want to say is what? Is that Saturday night? And the tickets are on sale now, just $25 to $35 bucks. 8 o'clock showtime, adamcarolla.com.
That's tonight. Oh,
what?
Tonight.
It is tonight.
Me and Lampanelli on stage. You know what? It's weird about people that are either fat or losing weight, because I know Lisa pretty well. They're either fat and miserable because they're fat, or they're skinnier and more miserable because they're eating kale all day and having to deal with some guy named Serge who comes to their house. They're miserable, so it's like either way they're miserable. They might as well just be fat and miserable, right?
Yeah, you'd think they'd be a little happier.
No,
if they could eat.
You know why? Because it's a constant battle.
Yeah.
You feel guilty for eating good stuff. Yeah.
Same way with heroin, people.
That's true. That is true.
You're going to be miserable. I've seen it. Let's just enjoy ourselves for the short time we're all on this planet.
Did you ever think when you were growing up in the Valley and you were working all those crappy jobs that you write about in your books and stuff that one day you would be going to a hotel in Ventura with Lisa Lampanelli? That was going to be your job.
I didn't think I'd be standing backstage at the Emmys. Trying to tell Jimmy jokes. I mean, that was a crazy thing.
I wish we had more time because I'm dying to hear about that. It sounds like that must have been a super fun night for you guys.
It was awesome. Totally awesome. I loved it.
All right. Well, we'll save it for another time. Right now, though, the Adam Carolla Man is on the air right now with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Number three and work my way up to number one. I was standing out front of a hotel and I was picking up my car and there was a security guard and he did this thing that everyone is doing now, which is they ask you a question and then they answer it for you less than a tenth of a second later. You know, like that thing where they go, how do you like your coffee? And you go, and they go, black? And you go, an answer was about to drop out of my mouth. By the way, why are you asking if you're going to just provide an answer? But this guy did the insulting version of it. He did the, hey, Adam, hey, man, what you up to these days? And, you know, as a celebrity, there's no more insulting question than what are you up to these days. I mean, you know, when you're at a 10-year reunion, that's fine. But when you're a celebrity, it's horrible. What are you up to these days? And I started to answer, well, I just wrote a book. And he said, just chilling? No, I wrote a book, and he goes, don't worry, something will come up, and he walked away, and I thought, wow. First off, you weren't asking what was I up to. You were saying sorry about your career.
Right.
And you'd preloaded just chilling.
Sure.
You see, something will come up to follow it, and then you walked away.
That's sweet. I love that writing a book is not considered doing anything in his life. That's fantastic.
I wanted to chase him down and start screaming at him about Lisa Lampanelli and Ventura in a podcast, but I thought, no, I have too much dignity for this. Besides, I'm late for an audition. just chilling. So, again, whether it's and people do that. How you doing? Good?
Yeah.
It's like, come on, give me a second. Let me answer. I may have lost a family member.
Maybe I'm not doing good. And I'd like to
maybe I'm not. Maybe I like my coffee with something other than coffee in it, and maybe I'm not doing well. Number two, I was thinking about this. I was walking around Beverly Hills the other day, or yesterday for some reason, long story, and somebody said, hey, have you seen Kim Kardashian? And I thought, well, what the hell are we still thinking about that bitch for? And then I said, what happened to the 15 minutes of fame?
Yeah.
Remember there was 15 minutes of fame? And then I got really depressed because I thought, well, Janis Joplin had about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years of a run, and Jimi Hendrix had a couple years, and Kurt Cobain was like 91 to 94.
Yeah.
If you combine their entire careers, you'd still come up short of Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
She's got, what, seven and a half? Like, she literally has more years of success and arguably has made more money while alive than they did. And I thought, what the hell? And by the way, what happened to people just ODing? Remember?
Well, yeah, we got to get Kim Kardashian a drug problem. That's what the message here is.
She's been around three times as long as Kurt Cobain was and has made 10 times as much money.
Yeah.
What happened to the 15 minutes? That's all I'm saying. And I know we're living longer now, and it should be adjusted to maybe 18 minutes, but still, we're going on a decade.
No, they've taken the deadline away. It's however many minutes it is. Yeah.
We have to enforce it.
All right.
There was a time when somebody like Omarosa would be on one TV show for half of one season and would be forgotten, and now she's just a permanent fixture on red carpets and on other TV shows. You can't get away from these people. Snooki is the same thing. It's not like Snooki's going to go away because Jersey Shore's off the air. She's in our lives forever, people.
Well, not unless she starts doing the horse and chasing that dragon. Just saying.
Everything comes back to the horse, doesn't it?
Everything comes back to the horse. And number one, speaking of the horse, I got to talk about the dog. I was flying Dallas to Tucson last week. I was in my spacious first-class cabin, and there was a husky woman sitting next to me, and she had her dog with her. And her dog was on her lap, and I was breathing her recirculated doggy dander air. And I said, what's the dog for? And she said, service dog. And I said, what service does it perform? And by the way, how about a general service? Like, you know, it can alert the pilot if there's a fire on the plane or it can get me a Miller Lite. Why is the service always for you? What about me? What about the other 200 people on this plane that can use a little service? Yeah, it'll get you a sack of Fiesta Mix if you whistle. It's a service dog. I said, yeah, what's the service? She said, anxiety.
Really?
Oh, no. Wow.
Every human being on this plane has some form of anxiety about flying. We have service booze. We have enough quiet dignity to get S-faced at the Chili's that's in the terminal before we board the plane.
Right.
These are just people who don't want to go anywhere without their dog, right? That's all it is.
Of course. And then another woman got on the plane with her dog.
What?
And then the two service dogs squared off, and they started scrapping in the aisle. I'm sitting in first class, and there's a dog fight in the aisle. It's like I'm in Michael Vick's backyard.
Much more exciting than you thought that flight would be.
Oh, and then I said, what is this dog for? And she says, it's a seizure alert dog. Is it trained in medicine? Can it work those paddles? I went and looked this up. I talked to Dr. Drew about it. He's like, they don't exist. There's nothing this dog can do. There's not a thing. These are narcissistic nut jobs. Yes, they have a disorder. It's called narcissism, and they want to fly with their pets.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, guess where you don't get to bring your dog, at least in Southern California? The beach. So now we've crafted a society where there are no dogs allowed on the beach, but you can bring a menagerie onto an airplane.
Yep, that's where we're at.
What's
up? We're at.
And when do we start? When do we start slamming these people with heroin and getting them cody?
Adam, I'm going to tell you something that's going to disappoint you and may keep you away from the Kevin and Bean Show from now on, is that Lisa May is one of those who has gone through that charade to get her little dog Boner all registered as a service dog, and now she can take him to the supermarket and take him to the restaurant and take him to the hospital, whatever she wants to do. She's one of those people
By the way, is this any worse than like athletes at USC getting handicap placards so they can park their Denali alleys wherever they want?
Oh, no, same thing.
We have a society. Hey, Bean, tell you what, I'm going to get a note from Dr. Drew, and I'm going to need to borrow one of your goats.
Sure, why not?
My role, bitch.
Why the hell not?
I'd love to see you get on a plane with a goat.
Hey, service goat.
Adam Carolla at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Ventura tonight with the very funny Lisa Lampanelli. Tickets are on sale now through adamcarolla.com. While you're there, be sure to buy the new book, Not Taco Bell Material. Thanks, Ace.
Love you.
Thank you.
They stole that from us, by the way. They totally ripped us off.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I don't think they were listening.
Nobody else goes, at the end of a song except us. And now, all of a sudden, their song, in the recording itself, you hear,
do we own that?
Yeah.
All right.
How about a little something for the drummer, huh?
It's the world-famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:40.
Here's Toy Hunter Jr., Ralph Garman.
Oh.
I want to so hang with Jordan. Go on his quests, his toy quests.
It's quite a dork fest last hour.
How dare you, sir?
That'd be a fun job, though, if that's what you're into.
If I just got to go around the country searching for rare and expensive toys and then ripping people off and selling for a huge profit margin, it'd be the greatest gig in the world.
But you hate going to most of America, though, Ralph. That would be the deal breaker for you.
I wouldn't if I had a purpose, if I was going to ransack their toy collections and leave them penniless and brokenhearted. That'd be awesome.
So if you were going to Boise this weekend, but it was to rip off some poor people, you'd be happy.
Crush Boise.
Okay. All right.
I'd leave those yokels just going, ooh, what happened to us? Where'd all our expensive toys go? Ha! You've been a victim of the Toy Raider. New show on Travel Channel this fall.
I'm like
Jordan, only I go in with I don't even bother paying them anything. I just go in with a blunderbuss. And some gas grenades, and I just put on my gas mask, get him with the tear gas, and just clean him out.
You watch too many,
I'm a raider.
Too many cartoons.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Willie Nelson has a new autobiography that's ready to come out. His last one came out in 1988. He's already written one.
Oh.
But a lot of life has happened between 1988 and now.
Sure.
A lot of pot busts on the old bus as he's driven up and down these highways and byways of the United States of America. The title of the memoir, Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die.
Yay!
I wonder what that could be alluding to. Perhaps he likes to roll his own tobacco cigarettes?
Yeah.
Hmm. Willie's promising stories of his life, his family, his music, his politics, Texas religion, and weed.
And weed.
And weed.
And weed.
You ever dream of...
There's a place.
Hanging out with George Clooney?
It goes beyond the court.
Well, Lisa, you'll be happy to know that...
I love that Lisa and Ralph have had the exact same dreams about hanging out with George Clooney, too,
by the
way.
No different.
I bet you the activities are the same.
Yep.
George is putting himself up in the auction block for a great charity called GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. He puts himself up for auction on October the 11th. The highest bidder will be treated to a private lunch with George... entertainment writer David Karger, and a friend. Well, that's not a private lunch with George.
Not really.
No,
a
private
talk,
lunch with George
just...
would be me and George.
At your house.
At my house.
In the jacuzzi.
In the jacuzzi.
Snuggling.
A nice chilled bottle of Pinot Grigio.
Yep.
What's this likely to go for? Do you have an estimate on the bid?
I can't imagine. It doesn't even say what the starting bid is, but... San Francisco Chronicle's got the story. If you
neither
want to
of
check
you will
it out.
Get it, if I could just break your hearts.
How dare
I'd like
you?
30 or 40,000.
I'd like to pay
around.
For it and not use it. That's yeah. That's my.
That's
goal.
How you like to bid on celebrity interactions. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Was that something?
Huh? That was something.
Was something.
What a tremendous ass!
Hey, I have a $7,000 charitable tax deduction on my taxes this year, though.
Dean spent $7,000 on a charity to hang out.
And this
out.
Is a guy who I've seen. I swear, hand to God. Ask for a receipt after buying a newspaper.
Correct.
A newspaper.
Well, and by the way, not just once, but every time. Every time he buys
this a newspaper. This is a man who likes to pinch a penny until the blackheads on Abraham Lincoln's face pop. $7,000 for a charitable interaction with Scarlett Johansson
and
that he
way,
never used.
To hang, not only that, not only the $7,000, to hang out with Scarlett Johansson.
Which Red I think is money well spent.
World
right.
Premiere.
If you're going to hang out with Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
Back. Not so well spent if you're not.
Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, let me write that in tomorrow. I forgot that's on tonight, didn't it, Bean?
New Honey Boo Boo
canceled. That show is not on.
Oh, no, it's very much
I think
on.
It's on Wednesdays.
In fact, I think they've just re-upped it for another series. Yeah. David King of Mexico told me they're having some kind of marathon.
I am excited to hear Kevin's take on Honey Boo Boo when he brings in the clips tomorrow.
Bean has to go
like a Hollywood
Boo Boo.
Boo Boo. Like a Halloween marathon or something's coming up. Anyway, Alana Thompson, of course, the 7-year-old star of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. She's talking about her niece. She's an aunt. Honey Boo Boo's an aunt.
Yeah. 7-year-old?
Yeah.
Is an aunt.
Yeah, because her 8-year-old sister, Chickadee, just had a baby.
I think she's 17.
Oh, anyway. She had a baby, Caitlin, this summer. Honey Boo Boo talking about how happy she's to be an aunt. Feeding little Caitlin go-go juice.
Mm-hmm.
Their patented combination of Mountain Dew and Red Bull.
which just makes you grow up strong.
It does, yeah.
It strengthens your bones. It's just all good stuff.
Hey, those kids are doing well. The 12-year-old pumpkin weighs 170 pounds, so they're feeding him is sticking.
It sure is. The little baby Caitlin is even more blessed than the rest of the family. According to June, Grandma June, 33-year-old Grandma June, because Caitlin has an extra thumb on one of her hands.
I feel sad.
She's blessed. Now, the doctors would like to remove it. Shannon, however, says that she doesn't want to do anything about it right now. She just doesn't want to make any rash decisions about the hideous deformity of her grandchild.
Wait until it can be noticed by her kid's friends? And
until she's pummeled mocked. About the face and neck on the playground at recess. Until they're calling her old two thumbs.
Imagine how quick she can tweet, though, and text.
She would be the world's greatest hitchhiker, I know that much.
I bet TLC is trying to talk her out of doing the surgery. They love the freak show over there. I mean, they got
absolutely.
Brittany and Abby with their two heads.
They're going to give Caitlin's hand her own show.
Absolutely. A spinoff, sure.
Two thumbs, one cup. It'll be called. It'll be on the TLC. Now, they probably want them to just do the operation at home is probably what TLC is asking for. They've given them an X-Acto knife and a bottle of cheap vodka.
Right. Said, very special episode.
Just splash some of this on the hand and then just pick a thumb.
But just do it. But what about... Just do it.
And we'll sell it on eBay.
Just crazy.
It's the Roman Empire, people. It's the fall of the Roman Empire. It's the breads and circuses.
But I love TLC because they're right out in front publicizing that stuff.
Madness. Me and Jordan will be going on the highways and byways of America looking for toys while you people are circling the drain. Like the Mad Max of toy hunting.
We're circling the drain?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Serena Williams is 31 years old today. Celebrate. She's going to throw up about 450 on the old bench press. She's going to just rock that out about 20 times.
She's fat.
She's not.
She isn't fat.
But she is. She's big.
She's a professional athlete.
Do you have to say it that way?
Oh, she's a professional athlete?
Yeah.
Is she lifting tennis courts or is she playing on them?
No,
how much muscle do you need to be a professional tennis player?
She's the most successful tennis player ever.
Yeah,
she sure is.
Yeah, she's about twice the size of Roger Federer.
I think that whatever she's doing, whatever her workout regimen is working because it makes her win every tournament. It's hard to argue with her success.
She would win every snap on the O-line for the Packers, too. Doesn't make it attractive.
She's a very pretty woman.
I think she's pretty.
I do. As compared to whom?
Venus. She's prettier than Venus.
Compared to Venus.
Wow. You guys are... You got some fetish I don't know about,
all right.
I'm telling you.
You don't think Serena Williams is attractive?
I think she's fine.
I think Matt Money Smith is the one who kind of pushed us in that direction. He's obsessed with her.
Well, that's great.
I think she's...
I got no problems with her. I'd be happy to date her.
All right. Where would you take her?
I don't know. Dennis? Maybe to Branson.
Someplace that has a trough. That's what I would suggest.
Come back backyard.
That's right.
He's got the place for it. He's got a barn.
Christina Milian is 31 years old today as well. See, now that's a beautiful girl. She's
yes.
a beautiful girl.
Right, but there are lots of different kinds of beauty. You know
yes,
it, Ralph.
But very few of them can shot put.
She's strong.
Jim Caviezel is 44 years old today. Linda Hamilton celebrates her 56th birthday. And Olivia Newton-John is 64. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Amy Purdy. Now, you may not have heard this name, but she is a double amputee who is going to join and compete in the Amazing Race.
That's not necessary.
Which, of course, is where they go around the world
wow.
as fast as possible.
What's she missing?
Double amputee? I don't know.
Yeah, see? What if she had extra thumbs and they amputated those? Then she'd be fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know.
I would guess legs,
Let's
though.
Not give her too much credit.
Wouldn't you guess legs?
I'm saying let's not give her too much credit too soon until we find
All
out
right. If they call her a double amputee, it's either going to be two legs, two arms, or one of each. Those are the only options if you call someone a double amputee. That's the common understanding.
I didn't realize you were on the board of amputee speak.
He is.
I didn't realize that.
He is.
Okay, fine.
He's one of the board members.
Okay.
Bean will take a look at Honey Boo Boo, which we're all excited about.
Yeah.
Very excited about that. Yep.
Nope.
Gotta make me holla.
Got to talk to Paul Scheer about NTSF SD SUV ASAP.
So funny.
That is good. We are going to talk to Dr. Drew tomorrow on the program. And we have from Fringe, oh, I don't know, Anna Torp.
Oh, Olivia.
And faux Olivia.
And Bolivia. They call it Bolivia.
All tomorrow morning. Plus, we've got your tickets for our Breakfast with the Black Keys tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.